Last,
You're not on one.
I didn't get on that pole.
Poor time.
Are there last people up there in Gainesville, don't there? Marvin carried our seed up there for them to mix it with the fertilizer, spread it out, Sean. And they spread it just half of it. And the other half, they sold half of it, the seed.
How'd that work out?
Well, they paid for the half of the seed they sold. And the seed that they didn't mix, we got them back. But it didn't do the ground no good. It's still... It's still to be planted.
What you doing to your house? You've been tearing it down.
Tearing it down. Rebuilding. Trying to.
We haven't got any use for it, Mr. Miles.
You got one you need.
I'll give you this back because we got...
You got one?
Yeah, so we got... we get one through the mail, but I haven't noticed it. I didn't know if Ms. Guthrie had one.
I haven't had time to read it.
That looks like you putting in the fourth, all right.
Yes, sir, I really have put in the fourth. I cleaned the house and washed a little bit.
Bad on it, so I had another one. It's a worm drive deal from the inside of the mower.
Mm-hmm.
So I just taking it down, taking the worm out the other, and put in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't fit. The worm wouldn't fit. So I just had to use the other base off of the other one, and the base off of that one would fit that motor. It doesn't quite have the power that the other one had, but it's. It's got enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somehow or another, that one there's more high-speeded than the works in there. So it's got a little more speed to them than the other one had, and the motor's not quite strong. Whenever you buy one, just buy two and put one of them up because you'll need the other one later.
Yeah.
And then when you wear both of them out, take the two and make one.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I expect people have had more ridiculous ideas than that.
I have an idea, sir.
Yes, sir. But now, you take your fuel.
Yes, so I just take my no trespassing sign and sat down and cut one out of it.
Yeah.
And it cost you $1.50 to go to town to get a 10-cent gas.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's a nice little shed where you got the tractor.
Well, that's not too bad. It could be better. It's just not large enough.
Yeah, you always use them larger.
Let me talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm rather than saying, but Pat up here. Now they get Pat. Might have given him another one for a dog house. That's what I want. I want to build me a dog house out of a chicken house or something.
Oh, you could, they'd be fine. What's that?
Yeah, the shed down there in that little swamp, hammock down there. Right down there, I got equipment on there,
yeah.
I put it there for a calf, but,
Have you got any fertilizer put out this year, Mr.?
No, let me tell you. I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead. I'm bad shape on fertilizer.
We are too. We called a man that put this out. We haven't heard from him, and these people say that he's quitting. So I don't know how in the world we're going to get any fertilizer. Fertilizer too.
Maybe this thing will work.
Up here at the game.
Up there at Gainesville?
Well, I had called that guy. He put out fertilizer for us first of the year, and I called him, and he told me he'd either call me back Thursday or Friday.
And that's been over a week ago.
No, he said, I'll call you Thursday. And that's been, that was supposed to have been Friday was a week ago, I guess it was. And let you know when I can put it out. Well, he was working for that co-op up there.
Oh, yeah.
So... He didn't call me, and went in there and picked up the what seed we had left, and it said he had quit. But evidently he had, I reckon he had quit before I called him. And they said he must have been working on his own. So he hasn't called me, and I'm not going to call him anymore.
Well, you tried to call him.
I tried to call him and got his number and couldn't get his house or his office or wherever he was. Well, he told me up there that it says I'll spread as much as you want. If you want 50 pounds, I'll still spread 50 pounds. But there's a minimum charge of $20.
For spreading?
For spreading. Up to 10 tons. No, up to 5 tons. That is.
Yeah.
And then they come down on the minimum.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's
an oil. It's late though, like in July. Wouldn't it come on out?
What's that?
I mean, wouldn't it come out faster to plant it along in July than it would in the spring of the year? I don't know. I don't know anything about that, though.
Indigo?
Indigo.
Oh, you can plant any time. On up the frost, just about.
Mr. Miles, we planted some, that sudden grass.
Yeah.
And that's the growingest thing that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's right. Once you get something like that, it'll spoil you and the cows, too, Marvin.
Well, I just wished we had 100 acres of it.
Yeah.
And 1,000 head of cows to go on.
Yeah.
How
well,
did your cows
say? What?
We sold 10 heads yesterday. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it
10? Left.
And they sold.
Yeah, and they was runts.
Oh.
Just culls. I call them culls.
Old fool cows. We can't
culling,
do anything.
Culling
with
a bunch of them.
Sunday, we happened to go over to the other pasture, and they were in there, and we closed the gates on them and got them in there and carried them off. Just so wild things that we can't do anything
about. Well, it's so, let me see, I don't believe we had any sell for less than 16 cents. And that was mostly just runny heifers.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want them much.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad anyway. I don't believe we had one south of 16 money.
I don't know, Marvin.
16 something, I believe it was. Was the lowest on that.
Them bulls. Well, not unless she goes a little while, you know.
Oh, how far along would you think she is if she's bred?
Oh.
And he told us, he said, you know, my cow had a calf this morning. Didn't even know she was pregnant. I started to tell him, well, you darn sure are some doctor. Didn't even know his cow was pregnant. Well, I tell you one thing. I absolutely, I'm not no expert, but I can generally tell. I've worked with cows so far. I can't tell nothing about a horse, but I can a cow.
Yeah. I can't tell anything about either one.
Something about these hens. I've noticed about these. Now, I don't know if other people are like these hens, but you'll see these hens do that every once in a while. That potted bull out there, he got that way, and his old eye kind of swelled out, and I thought he was taking the pink eye. And I got him deep one day and pulled his eyelid down, and there's Bahia seed stuck in there.
Yeah. Well, what do you know?
So that's what was hurting him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, I just wondered if other people's animals would get that away.
Yeah. I know. I could tell. A little.
The fella was up here yesterday and wanted to know, could anybody go in there and kill them wild cows? And I told him he most certainly couldn't.
Now, it's funny about them cows down in there, and these is near about the same way. We can go down there and call them up, most of them. There's some of them we can't, but most of them we can call up and feed. Somebody else go down and through there and they run from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so well, they'd be standing up there eating, and you'd walk up there and they'd tear
out. Yeah, they'd take off. Well, they think because they run from them, they're wild cows, and they think because they're taking the claim to the wild hogs, and they think the
cows
are all wild
too,
and they
and
they think
they
ought to go in there and kill the cows because they run from them.
What'd you tell them, Lydia?
I told them no, that they couldn't. Marvin and Marvin told them too. They didn't want to know who they belonged to. I told them they were my cows.
No,
I don't, but he was with my nephew.
Oh, his
my brother's
boy. His daddy's own cat. They're around there. This little poor fella. He told me about his daddy had an English bull for sale. And,
have you found your bull?
I got a black Angus. I went to Zephyrfield down to town.
Oh.
Morris Guthrie, found one, and I went down there and got him. I think
not
I paid
yearly.
A full price for him. But he's young. And
yeah, he's
so. I needed one, so I went and got him. Morris thought he was a good buy.
Well, he won't be ready for full service
right
for next year.
He's a
I mean, he's just that young. He's about 22 months old. So.
Mr. Dodds said, but you know, Mr. Guthrie, he's always just let his bulls
we
go.
We never have used
and
bull
he's had
control.
Some mighty fine bulls.
But
Mr. Dodds said that it would stun them.
I don't think so. I think if you'll turn them out and give them a little protein, a little bit every day, And you know, not just let them go on off and forget about them. Just kind of take care of them. I think they'd be all right.
And Mr. Gus, but bulls in the woods.
I think if you're gonna just
some fine bulls.
Just turn him out when he's a year old and just say, well, go on now, bull. I'm through with you till I get ready to sell you. Then I don't think you got much.
Mm-hmm. That little protein every now and then ought to help.
That little protein. I think it's 12, 14 head of cows on a little place out yonder, and they can't keep up with it.
Is that your new place?
Yes.
It's coming on.
It is natural coming on. There's grass out there that high right now. They can't do nothing with it.
But this year, side here was
this,
planted before this.
Yeah,
fall.
That out
this
there was
side
planted
up here
out
was
over
planted
there.
In April.
Well, that out there'd be green now if they'd have put the seed down there, but they kept the seed up there in the cold. That put half of the seed and a little bit of fertilizer out there, and that's about it. I got to try to plant it over. I was kind of looking for one of them little old cyclone seed sowers, you know, that you attach to your battery, put on the front of a tractor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people claim that they buy one, and when they get the pasture planted, they're through with it then. And I don't know of anybody that actually has one of them.
I got one you can put on the power takeoff.
It's on the power table.
Gentlemen, I'm telling you.
Well, how does that work for
just
you?
Just like the other one.
Deals
except it's behind.
On me lately.
Pardon?
I've had some deals pulled on me lately.
You mean some more?
I've got a man to go over yonder on the other place and do some bulldozing. And when I carried him over there, I told him, I said, I want you to give me $1,000 and I want that to be all and I want it fixed and fixed good so I can plant it and don't go a dollar over because I don't have it. And that geezer went in there and he pushed down them trees and he left that place in a mess. And
left
he come back up here and he told me it cost me $350 more. I said, no, it won't because I don't have it.
He pushed down $1,000 worth before we ever started piling.
And that's a mess over
and
there.
And that's the way they do you, see?
Yeah.
If you don't, you've got to stay right with them and keep up with their time. If you don't, well, and when they get half through pushing you, anybody should start them piling. But we thought that they did have sense enough to go ahead and divide up that time, see, but they didn't do it.
He stood around over there and he talked to his brother-in-law and walked from way back over to the pump to get him a drink of water, and that man come up here and told me that, and I told him, I said, yeah, I said, he killed too much time, he had too much company, and he stood around and talked
too
much.
Too close to the highway.
Now, the man you contracted with that.
Well, we had him about an hour.
Was he doing the work?
Yeah, yes. No, he had the contractor had an operator.
Mm-hmm. So your operator just gets off and runs.
Well, he turned his time in.
Yeah.
He can stand up and talk.
Yeah.
And then
let me tell you, you got
to I tell you, Mister, this somebody somewhere always ready to put the finger in your eye. Now, Mr. Weaver over yonder at Citra, he done this for us. When that man tells you that you owe him for an hour's work, you can just bet you'll.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the best.
He's about the honestest.
I wouldn't have any more cleared unless I could get him. No, I wouldn't do it. Because I absolutely, if he says you owe me $150, I'd just leave it because he's done too much for us.
You couldn't get him on
this. No, he's tied up with Mr. Shane.
There's too many people after him.
If this rain keeps on, though, he'll be after
you. You can get these fellas nobody else don't want.
I see.
And that cost me $1,350, and but about 6 acres. And half of that was an old field.
Just don't tell me things like that.
That is right. $1,350 and over half of it was an old field. You can go over there and look at it. Go talk to anybody you want to and they can tell you. And that's in one of the worst messes I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I don't know what in the world we're going to do with it.
Before I can
something.
Ever start leveling it, and then I don't know if I'll level it.
Now, I guarantee you, Mr. Weaver, don't leave your place in that piece.
Well, I tell you who recommended this to us more than anybody else. It was Lovett Jackson over at Rochester. And he's one of them guys that when anything's done for him, it's pretty well done right. And he said that you couldn't beat this man over there. So.
Well, he done some work for this man over
here. Yeah, he done some work for Hogan's over there. Of course, I think Hogan's exaggerated on some work he done. He thinks he got 5-6 acres, and I went over there and looked at it, and I believe I could eat all over an acre and a half.
And he said it cost him how much?
$700.
No, $490.
Well, it's $700 and something. Some piece over that did. And that other was that piece over there where they got watermelon planted now was about $1,400.
That man went over there and looked at that piece of land, and it's mostly all water oak and some water oak stumps where this dark at making nobody cut timber. And he says that'll just be a breeze, so you can just go through it. He did. He went through it. He sure went through me.
I tried to get him. I said, what I'd like for you to do is just to push that stuff up and put it in a windrow at the edge of the field. And forget about it because I didn't want to take time to burn it. Oh, says, that costs you too much money to push it that far. We can burn it cheaper than that. And he wound up trying to burn it and then push it over.
Ooh, I'm telling you.
Oh, no time.
Yeah.
Mr. Guthrie knows about that. Gee, well, that's just about running me crazy. But he won't never do nothing else for me. And I'm going to take my own good time paying him the rest of what I will. I don't owe him but about $160. And he's going to need it before he gets it.
Oh. Well, he's lost about, let's see, around $1,500, $2,000.
Just
right
on the strength
of that. I mean, it's people that was wanting him. They was calling us and coming here to ask us, when will he be through with you? We want to get him when he gets through. And when he got through, they went by and looked at that. And they had already engaged him and called him and told him, no, we don't want you.
They hadn't even talked to us about it. They decided they didn't want
it. Yeah, we didn't know that they didn't want it, see, till they decided. that kind of work they didn't need. Well, you can't blame them. My brother-in-law was wanting some work done in Morgan Sykes in Island Grove. He come here and wanting to know where he lived, and Miss Guthrie carried him in there and called the man. He talked to him and engaged him, I think, everything. When he started to move, he went over there and looked at the ground and decided he didn't need him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, and he had to drive slap back to whereabouts, was it?
Johnson, up there somewhere.
Somewhere to get a little old piece of cable. But I told a man about that.
Anyway, his boss man said the contractor said he's working by the old time, starting knocking off by it. Well, he might have thought he was.
He worked by the new time.
He was starting by the old time and knocking off by the new time. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, heck, he's leaving there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. That's the miles you got back then?
The dog's got one over yonder that we can use, but you know, I just hate to borrow
people's stuff all the time.
I borrowed it here a while back, but I hate to. And another thing we need is a hay rake.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we've been using his every year, but I feel like that I ought to
just
get
about
one and let him use it.
He just about hadn't got one. Us or him, one's going to have to get one this hay season if he stays in the hay business. If he keeps working out at the university, I don't reckon I don't know where he's going to be in the business or not.
He's a watermelon man now, isn't he?
Well, I think he got rich on that and still working at the university.
Yeah.
Miss Dodd took a little fire out of me the other day. Didn't say nothing. She said, you know, Dick Wilkerson is the crookedest man I ever seen in my life. I said, he is.
He can't hook you one way, he'll pick up something else.
She said, that's the crookedest man I ever seen in my life. Well, I could have told her that.
Well, and I understand that you did.
No, I told her about the man that built her house.
Yeah.
And I did tell him to watch him. Yeah. She said that was the crookedest man she ever seen in her life. But they went to his house. He had a brand new Buick. And they went to his house. And they looked for trikes. Well, to see if his Buick had been out. Well, heck, if I wanted to drive my car out of the shed, I could take my water hose. And
well,
I could fix it.
His car hadn't
but
been
you
out
know
from
one
the
thing?
Rain.
You know, there was some talk of it that was him and his brothers was the one that
it. Well, his brother. And the Buick, it was on Pitt's discretion.
He went over there and stayed all night with Dick to game warden did. And Miss Dottie told me, she says, you know Sykes is a crook too. I said, he is? Yeah. She said that, you know what he done? I said, well, I wouldn't know. I said, you can't put your finger on anybody these days. Huh? I said, him and old Dick Wilkerson went down the road, John, and killed a doe deer. Split him right down the center and divided him. I said, oh, they did. Said yes. Said Dick, come up here and told me. I said, Miss Sykes, Dodd, he just lied to you. I said, Dick just lied. If it had been so, he wouldn't have told you that. She said yes. He said it was, and said for me not to tell. What's the other name?
Dave
Starling, that he'd fire him. Says they just like that. Sykes and Dick. I said, yeah, I know they used to be, but I said Mr. Sykes got his finger on him now. She said, well, they killed a doe deer and divided him, cause. Dick said it is. Dick told her that, but don't you know that ain't so? If it had been so, he wouldn't have told you.
I don't know, sir. I haven't hardly made up my mind. I'm either going to call Williston, that Hudson Freighter Company, or see Dodd. Now, he's got a man that comes out from the hotel and puts his out each year.
But he got dissatisfied with him.
He got a little dissatisfied with him last year.
Yeah,
so
he fertilized the weeds.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
And then laughed at him.
Yeah.
He did.
Thought it was funny.
There he is, no.
No, that's not.
It's not BJ? No, yes, no.
Well, how much do you have put out?
Well, I wanted to have about 8 tons, 8, 9, maybe 10.
What are you going to put out?
Oh, 10, 10, 10, what I figured on. Guy, if I could get a hold of him, I got his number, but I can't get an answer on his phone.
Go ahead and call him, and he may be.
Well, he might be.
You won't fool with him if he stood you up, you know.
Well, he said he was gonna call, and he never did, and we was here just about all day Thursday. Me and her one was.
Yeah. Now I
have a number. I got a thermometer, an old rain gauge out there from the Hudson Spreader Company in Williston.
He called these people at Hawthorne, and what did you say?
Oh, they were $60 a ton for 10 put on the ground. That's too much. That's too much money.
Yeah. You can get 10 for $50, can't you?
About $52.
Yeah.
That's including a $20 minimum fee. A 10 is actually about $48 a ton.
You know, that might be more economical, that 10.
Well, I find that we get just about as much results. Now, we tried some 12, and that 10 looked like it done just about as much good. It might not last quite as long.
Well, it's just a little difference.
You get a little bit more nitrogen than your plant food, in your 12.
Yeah. But that's a whole lot to pay for that extra nitrogen. Just so little.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and you think you'll call the Williston man?
I believe I will. I think I'll check with Dodd and see what he's going to do. Now, I talked to Ms. Dodd yesterday morning. She talked like that they was might do some fertilizer this week.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't know.
Where they got fertilized? That pasture?
That pasture.
Oh, it's not plowed up?
Mm-hmm. Well, it must be at Pangolin Coastal they got over there. Where the barn, out from
there. Yeah. They can't fertilize that watermelon field.
Oh, not hardly. She said yesterday she might want to buy some cows and put on them watermelon feed.
You know, they're just about...
Are they going to pay more for them bony cows now, and they've sold them good ones for last winter?
I told her yesterday that them bones is pretty high right now. We're trying to buy and fatten out because...
Mighty high.
You take these speculators is buying up a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Of course...
Yeah, everybody wants them right now.
They might can afford to lose a little bit of money.
They lost enough. I'm glad they made something.
I hadn't think of that. They have a spreader that they either loan you or rent it to you, and it's a trailer deal.
Yeah.
And I think you can haul 5 tons on it, but you got to pull it with a tractor.
Yeah.
And I don't think we got our tractor. I don't think I'll take care of it. I'm afraid it would.
You don't have to
haul that plenty.
And you wish you had done that, huh?
I do. I actually do.
Now what happened on that? You had the seed.
Yes, sir. We furnished the seed. We had, 850 pounds of seed, I think it was.
Had $350 and some odd cents worth.
So we carried, the man says, well, I can put it out with the fertilizer. If you'll bring it up here and let me mix it in as I mix the fertilizer. See, I put a little bit of fertilizer and a little bit of seed and mix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was telling me that... he didn't know it at the time, but he said that he was mixing it, and he put in 100 pounds or so and mixed it, and the phone rang or something, and he had called to the phone anyhow, and he had a nigger boy then, told him to go ahead and start mixing it. So evidently the nigger boy had put the seed behind the door, somebody had, and he just put in what he could see. And there's about half of it that was hid. So we wouldn't have known anything about that if I hadn't called the guy. I called him. His name was Faircloth, Jay Faircloth, and I asked him about putting out the fertilizer, and he said, by the way, did you go by and get your seed? And I said, no. I said, what seed? Oh, he liked 400 pounds.
Something like
that. Putting all the seed in there.
How long was that after?
The other day.
We just found that out this last week.
And then we went up there to get it, and they'd sold half of it.
Part of it.
And that man, Marvin said he didn't know that man was in there when we went in there and paid for the fertilizer.
Miss Guthrie, this is just not your year.
It isn't. It's just a bad year for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So again,
you know, I can see.
That to Marvin yesterday about that picture, I said that it is a shame the way that man eat meal. That's a good picture, but that's not the best. I've seen lots of pictures better than the one that this was made.
I've just done one over, one from. It was from Tuesday, July the 4th. I didn't set it down. I'll set it down on this other too. Now I'm going to transfer again the one from Friday, the 14th of July,
1967. The gnats have been awful bad.
Oh, they have been. They've been on the figs out there.
So?
I never saw gnats on figs.
Man.
Hi, Butch. Miss Guthrie, just too much to do right now.
Yeah, I know it.
Everything seemed
like we went over yonder, and the mowing, the weeds, the dog fellas, is just taking.
Yeah, you got it.
I told Marvin he just had to get over there and get them weeds out of there.
About a week mowing.
And then them roots pick it up.
Oh, it won't be that much, but it'll be three.
Get that grass planted and porches to build. And need to mow the yard, but he hadn't got anything to mow it with.
I don't know a lot more. It run. It cracks easy. And I start to mow maybe 15 minutes, and then it gets so hot till it'll freeze up. I can't just. Evidently, it's not getting a proper amount of air, you know, it's old air-cooled engine.
Yeah.
It's heating up, or either that or I think the governor's not picking up on it like they should, or if it's any. And it's got to where it doesn't have any power. But it sounds like rains could be bad, too. Well, I have another motor, I think I'll try another motor and see if it makes any difference.
As if you didn't have anything else to do.
Well, that's right.
You had to burn no more. Living right here on the road, you know, you got to mow your grass.
Sure, yes, sir. Make it look
pretty. I couldn't want to go fish for a fish across
there. He's got to mow it down. I don't know how the shrubbery is looking around here. I think out there.
Oh, the heck with the shrubbery. We don't need it
nowhere. You know, Marvin, when I was growing up, we didn't have a shrubbery. Just a little bit around the house.
Didn't have no grass in the yard either, I don't imagine. I know
we didn't have no grass.
We didn't have no grass. There was another kid, we usually started on Friday, and if we didn't get through, well, we worked all day Saturday till we did get through. Raking yards.
Yeah.
And if there's a hill of grass or weed in there, it come out. That's right, it come out of it.
Yes, sir. And the cows got in, it didn't matter.
No. Well, there wasn't nothing in there. No. They come up around there sleep and they clean the yard once in a while.
I don't know. Some it seemed like when a fellow's out making a living, he ought to sort of make things easy on himself. And,
but how can you do that?
Yeah, you like to have a few plants around.
Go like other people leave, go to the mountains.
Yeah.
I want some jam, I believe. I can't eat too many of them beans.
Why?
Because I don't like them.
Good reason.
I like pork and beans.
I called up the man who owned that Oliver. He had thrashed some indigo seed for me when I was back up in the
hadn't kept up with him, but he remembered who I was. And I asked him how much Sabre's in when he turned it in. Anything wrong with it? He said everything wrong with it. Keep it going if he was out there. But he just didn't want to be there all the time. So.
Well, that's what the salesman said, just about said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that but he told me after you left it, it just wasn't a buy at all. Now that New Holland, they said didn't know whether it would work or not, but he said that if he was buying, that would be the one he would buy, but the motor froze up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baloney.
How did they, how do them motors work on a that bigger motor on a bailer like that? Would they give enough trouble if they were in good shape?
No, sir, not if they're in good shape, they won't. No, sir, if they're in good shape, they won't give you any of the motor
stuff. What they want for a new bailer?
They won't give you any trouble.
Mr. Field said, that they allowed him that as a down payment. And he said he just didn't know how much his payments was. He said he thought it was around $1,500, $1,600.
Besides the
own. And that's pretty close, you see, to what that figure he gave you, us.
That's probably around $2,000.
Yeah. Except that they gonna have a hard time getting the money out of it.
Well, they got that figured before they have a trade. That's all figured in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, we can sure get in trouble with something like that.
Tom Padgett, I've we've been knowing him for a couple of years, I guess.
I think maybe he gave me back some of my money, but he said he was coming out here.
That's the reason I was talking to him, you know, when he first come up there about that old wore-out bailer. I understand y'all got an old wore-out bailer here on the sale. Just see what he'd say, you know.
Yeah, he admitted it, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't try to sell it either.
No, sir. You know, if there was, now, the boy said,
I'll tell you what I think you thought. It been froze like that, you'd find four stuck valves and two stuck pistons. You'd have to put rings in it, and I don't know if that motor carries sleeves or not. If it did, evidently you'd put sleeves in it or home the pistons, the wall. And you get to buying a motor that way, if you don't know it, and you don't know who owned it, if they had a nigger or something out there running it, he'd just as liable to been running it without oil, and you probably have a flat crankshaft. So, the motor, you don't know, you can't tell anything you want about it. Well, as far as that's concerned, you can't tell anything about the bailer. But that you do see it working, and you just have to, you about have to work it a half a day before you could tell anything about it then.
And from what Lehman said, they don't want to put that much into it or rebuilding that motor. But now who's going to buy that thing?
Well, I have an idea eventually that it'll go for scrap somewhere. They probably, that Ford Motor Company will probably take them things in and melt them up and use them for something.
If they don't never sell it, they're not
allowed anything. No, that's all figured in when you buy them. The first thing, when them things are set on the yard, it's just like an automobile. You go up there and you ask them the price, and they'll say, the first thing they'll say, if they don't know, first thing they'll say, have you got an old one, or have you got anything to trade? That's the first thing they want to
know. Do you know what a new, brand new one costs?
He priced that one out there, medium size one, for $1,900.
He priced it to you for $1,900.
While we was out there.
I wonder how many bales, how large of bales would he put out? These largest bales?
Yeah, it's a medium sized bale. He'd put out about as. I have now. You could put a 70-pound bale out with it. It depends on how thick the grass is, but I think the average bale would run around 60 pounds. Mm-hmm. Try to make them run around 60.
He wastes more time of getting his equipment rigged up to go to work than
well,
he does the time that he puts into
anybody should
work.
Knock off. I always grease my equipment in the morning before I go to work if I'm going to grease it. And check the oil and this, that, and the other. But anybody should do, they ought to knock off and time enough in the evening and do that at night.
That's right.
But from the time he knocks off till supper time, and then in the morning it's ready to go.
That's ready to go.
That's what he should do, but I don't do it.
You don't have light on the outside to do
anything. I do.
You do?
No.
Oh.
I like to, but I don't. I just raised it up so I wouldn't put it back.
But coming home, we seen a terrible,
terrible
wreck, and there was a car just had lined the pine tree just sitting right straight up.
It'll cut, but it won't stop. Now, do those differ as to some shallow and some deep?
No. If it's got the weight on it, it should go right on down.
And the speed.
Well, that speed's what throws you down.
Well, I tell you, well, that's my little Harry, my little tractor, if you want to sort it again. But there's the way it's doing it, there's a leaves a ditch
there,
about a foot
there,
on either side.
But what you do, I don't know if you're doing that, and we'll say.
I know you told me.
Yeah, this would be the center of your harrow here. See, it's leaving a little place in there about the wide as your hand, maybe. All right, when you come back, if you run your front wheel on this center,
yeah.
That's what you call double cutting it. Well, it should turn your center back, see, to level it up.
And just keep going.
Just keep going.
Keep your tractor wheel on that center.
On that center or close to it, you know, so your back blade. We'll throw it back. In other words, when you make your first round, it throws it this way and this way, supposed to.
Yeah.
All right, when you come back, your happiest section will be here where you've already cut, throwing it back. See, and just keep going around and around. And when you get it done, then it's you should be level. If it'll throw it, you know, right.
They call that double cutting?
Yes. That's double cutting your ground.
Yeah, well, what I always call double cutting was cross cutting.
I know, one way and then the other.
Yeah.
We call that cross cutting.
Yeah.
You sing it both ways.
Well, I asked John Frank McCray finally, got around to talking to him, and he said with that big tractor of his, he'd still have to double cut it or cross cut it, one of the
cross
other.
Cross cut it.
Cross cut it.
Some kind of those weeds.
And I told him it didn't need cutting. It just needed that top knocked off. But I think the thing of it is, you see, he just got that one. He either plowed or used that big harrow, and that's all, you see. So, now he could lift it up and just level it off that way. Why couldn't he do that?
Well, is his harrow lift type harrow?
Yeah.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
He could, or he could put those spacers on it. Depth spacers.
On his?
Yes. See,
oh, yeah.
that large harrow is supposed to have a depth gauge. It's called, in other words, it's a disc-looking thing that fits on your disc. And you can space them to where you can get them 1 inch, 2 inches, or take them off and go right on down to the hood if you want to.
Yeah, the way he goes, if he didn't have that lift, he'd get stuck every day.
I don't know if he got it, but he can't put spacers on. This nigger's down south, you know, and I talked to down in the morning, bro. And I talked to one of the niggers that's, running one of the tractors. Of course, he's pulling the disc. And he said that man down there, he said he would come out and set the throttle in the morning for you and lock it. And he said, now, this is the way I want it to come in at 5 o'clock this evening. And that would be wide open. He'd lock the throttle wide open. He said, I want to see them wheels turn. So you know a tractor won't hold up at that. And he was an operating tractor. That's nigger was.
It's a curious thing in this world, isn't it?
But he said that they got over some orange grove in the back.
Just set up there and guided.
Just set up there and guided. Make sure it didn't run into a tree and cut one of them.
I guess he could put his foot on his head on the deer, on the ear.
Well, that's about the only way they could stop it. See, Johnson.
No, no, Alfred.
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 No, so I didn't know it.
Well, he made my silage over there.
Mm-hmm.
I had 20 acres of corn.
Last year.
It loses protein. You take the grass.
Dollars was dead before it was
there. Well, it's only what, about a 12% protein anyway.
Yeah.
Cut in the right time.
Yeah.
All right, if you wait till about the 1st of November, you only got about a 2 or 3% protein.
Yeah.
So it pays to try to get it while it's, when it first gets ripe.
Yeah.
A pangola, when pangola starts to turn it.
Yeah.
Right then when you want it.
Uh-huh. Within 2 or 3 days.
Within 2 or 3 days, not over 3 days, when it starts turning over.
Yeah.
You know, it'll grow up there, and then
it'll
start toppling over.
And it grows up there so fast once it starts.
Whenever it starts toppling over, it's time to get it. Of course, you can make hay out of it right on for frost falls, but that's all you got is
hay. Yeah, you got much out of it. Well, now you see, that's, I want this position on that other.
You take what's, That last one you got then was a high-speed mower, supposed to be a high-speed mower.
That's high enough for all this grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the one we got is supposed to be made for Pangola. It's supposed to be a high-speed pick it up. It won't pick it up. I mean, it won't get out low enough to get under the 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's due to adjustment. And the adjusting deal on the thing, that pin that's in there, is froze slap up. I'm going to have to try to get some heat put on that to loosen that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
To where I can adjust that blade. You know, you're supposed to adjust that blade up and leave a high stubble or
mm-hmm.
level or get down a little bit. And I think that's the...
Well, you see, my mower was working fine. And it didn't stall on anything. And, you know, just an ordinary slow track to speed. And no more than we'd have, you see. I'd cut it for the next 10 years and was making a difference. That baler, putting it up loose, even if you have the time to fool with it, you know, it takes so much space.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So much mowing away.
Yeah.
About the cheapest you can buy behind the baler, I understand, any time is about 60 cents. Well, that's $30 a ton, isn't it?
Yeah.
Figures are right at $30.
But that's not cheap. And then you still got the handling in it.
It's stolen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I guess if it would be a bumper crop someplace, you could get hay for maybe 50 cents, if, you know, behind the bale or something like that. But a lot of times you don't know what you're getting. You don't know where you're getting up close to land.
Oh, you don't.
All kind of poison weeds.
That's right.
But when you're buying it, you don't know. You don't know what to get to. You don't know.
Well, I lost money on that silage. Oh, I really lost money on that.
Well, that's a job that I have never undertaken yet. It just looks like to me that without a person that's got the wagons and everything and is really equipped for it, it's more work in it than what you get out of it. It's like planting tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that tobacco is a lot of people plant it and would plant more if the government would allot it to them. But it just looks like to me that there's more work in it and what they can make in money. I guess it's not. It might be just me, the way I look at it.
A lot of work in it.
It sure is. There's a lot of hanging in tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And peanuts is another thing.
Yeah. How much he'd want for the small baler?
I don't know. I have an idea though, he's going around 16. But there's not a whole lot of difference in them. It's just one of them puts out, you might say, a bale like a 4x4. It's near about square all the way around, but that medium size one to put out, what is it, about a 20, 16, about 22, I believe it is, inches. It's just a little wider,
mm-hmm.
but it's 18 by 22 or 3. And that large one then, can put out about a 90-pound baby, that's about a 20 by 24, somewhere along there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few thousand bales for somebody else.
Yeah.
And he'd have to be close or he'd burn his tractor up going back into the
yeah.
Well, I just wondered, Benny, he buys all of his, I think, from, I don't think he ever tried to save any hay.
Yeah.
Mr. Geiger. I think he tries once in a while, that Sanspar hay or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Benny buys all of his out of Georgia. I think he claims he can get it cheaper than he can raise it because he buys, oh, he'll buy 3 or 4 semi loads at one time.
Oh, yeah.
And get it in.
But he said he had Pangola.
Oh, Mr. Geiger had?
Yeah, and he fertilized it pretty heavy. And that Robert Williams is going to...
Well, now, Robert Williams does a lot of custom work, I know.
Yeah.
He did. But I don't know if he's still in the business or not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wonder what he gets for.
Well, you see,
that's right. For me and you.
That's right.
Well, you can't blame the man. The man say, well, I'll be there Saturday, and then I'll put it down there Tuesday. You can't wait till Saturday. You got to get it up Wednesday.
That's right.
Or Thursday.
Yeah.
It might be raining Saturday.
Mr. Dobb has been wonderful. He has helped us out. But we've had our hay over there and been sitting down over there, had it raked and everything, and the cloud making up, and him have to come slap from over there on the side of a Island Grove to Bailey.
Yeah, maybe have to go home and eat lunch and take a nap.
Yeah.
And then come.
Yeah.
How come you are?
I see you say that again.
That's a ditch for that. And that thing is deep. Must be 25 feet deep down the way.
Now you got your hay down.
Let's go in.
You got your hay down. And mold. I want to hear.
And rake.
Yeah.
And then sitting there on the trailer ready to go with ants in your pants, we might say.
Yeah.
And by the time the man gets there, then you done lost all your nerve and patience too. You ain't able to work.
Now you got to come from way old Grass Island Grove.
Eat lunch, take a nap, rest up.
Yeah. And the cloud coming up.
Yeah.
That's as good as I am. Now that's what a man gets into.
We have done it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Last year, I was hauling some old stuff, some lumber, 2x4s and 2x8s and stuff like that from a building is wrecking over there in Hawthorne. There was no hotel. It was good lumber in it. You can't find lumber today that it was in that old house. All right, I left 10 early in the morning, had my hay on the ground and ready to rake. Well, I got over there and the man hadn't started the tearing down. Well, he had started too the day before, but what I wanted, he hadn't tow out of it. So he crawled up on the building, the boss man himself, he had a bunch of working around there. He crawled up there. And I told Ms. Guthrie in the meantime, I said, I'll be back in by 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Mr. Miles, don't you want to bring your coffee and you can drink it?
No, that'll do me, thank you.
You can bring it, too.
Sure,
you can drink coffee in here. I drink coffee all over the place.
Right.
I just grab
don't
me a cup and take a...
No.
So, but bless my soul, when I got over there at about 9 o'clock, I guess.
Now, if you don't want it, don't drink it, Mr. Miles.
I'll sip on it a little bit. No,
just,
I don't drink.
He crawled up on top of that thing and had a sledgehammer, and he was going to knock them things out I wanted, them 2x4s. He was just going to knock them out and get me loaded. Well, he knocked one of them out, and I was standing down there watching him. He was up in the 2-story building, and he had all the top and everything off, and, well, it wasn't a thing in there but 2x4s. On the other side, then he had the weatherboard and stuff. But he's knocking them out. He knocked one out, and he had about a 6 or 8 pound hound up there. And the rest, I seen him come back like this in, and he helped the hammer just for a minute and looked up. And then his arms give away like that, and he dropped the hound. Well, he throwed his head down like that. Then he grabbed a hold of, I seen him grab a hold of the 2x4, and he come sliding down. I knew there's something wrong with the man right then. So I run to him and says, Herman, can I help you? What's wrong with you? He muttered something, I think he said, lay me down out there in the shade. what I think he said. I'm not sure that he said that, but it sounded like it. Anyway, I drug him up out there and called. His son was on the outside of the building, and I called him. Told him, I said, something wrong with your daddy. You better come over here and see about it. So he come over here, and the rest of them, they all quit and ganged up around him, too. So evidently, he had had a mild heart attack or something. Up there, and it was hot, too. So I told some of the boys, that old fellow Dylan, I think, was around there. I said, Dylan, I said, don't you think we ought to call an ambulance? I said, well, I think we have. And I said, I think I'm going to see Earl. Earl was the police in Portland. I see Earl across there. I'm going to get Earl to call him and see if he can get me. So I told Earl, I said, Herman's had a heart attack or something. I said, I think you ought to try to call him and see if he can. I said, call the sheriff's department on your radio. See if they can't summon an ambulance out here. But he didn't. He went across the grocery store over there and got the telephone and called. And, you know, it taking that burn ambulance about an hour and a half or 2 hours to get out there from Gainesville. And they picked him up and carried him on to town. Well, heck, it was 11:30 then. And yeah, about 12 o'clock, hay down on the ground over there. And The man, it looked like a shame to run off and leave him laying there. And that was one time I didn't know which way to go. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where to come home. I just try to pick the man up and carry him to town in the truck, or wait on the ambulance, or what to do. Mm-hmm. But we got him on the way, and then I got my load, or had my load, and come on in. Got in, saved the hay, but I was beginning to think one time we wasn't going to do it. But that was one time Dodd was ready to go. He was ready ahead of me.
Yeah. Ready to wait for you.
Yeah, he was waiting.
Seems like Dodd breaks down a lot.
Well, he does. You know, he's got that new baler. And he didn't break down so much last year.
Well, that tractor. He's always
well, yeah,
that
well,
tractor.
He handles that thing so rough, and it's got so much gadgets to it.
Yeah.
It's got too many things to break down.
Yeah.
I had all that automatic transmission, power steering, and power this and power that. And,
yeah.
And
you run into a stump or something?
Well, he don't have to do that. The doggone thing is, he's got more power there, and his machine will hold up
and
take care of it.
Yeah. Well, why would he want all those?
I just don't know. He's got a big old industrial tractor there, but
rough.
Just a little old one-horse farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last year, he tried to make a bulldozer out of it. He put it down oak trees.
Yeah.
Thing with it.
Yeah. That's, well, it's nice to have a big machine.
Yeah.
When it breaks down,
I mean, that's all them extras. That's not necessary to have all that extra stuff on there. Now, I don't reckon he's too lazy to shift gears. All he got to do is put it in gear one time, and the automatic takes hold of it.
Yeah.
And then that power steering, that, I reckon